Amen. All right. So last week we began a sermon series called New You. Hey, our slides are back. Here we go. Thank you. We called it New You, and I'm convinced that living a life with Jesus is the best way to live. And when we submit to Him, we're not only our lives are made better, but they're also made new. And so last week we looked at the impact that God can have on our lives when we begin the new year with better priorities. We looked at those in three ways, and we talked about three new priorities that we could put at the top of our list for the new year. The first one was seeking God first. When we seek God first, everything else in our lives kind of falls into place. And the second one's that love God with all you have. And Jesus told us that the greatest commandment was to love God with all you have first, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And we can argue that if we're not loving God first, then we can't really love others well. And the last priority we brought up last week was to focus on the eternal. We talked about making things a priority that will carry over into eternity. Things like prayer and devotions, our relationship with God, and then also our relationship with other people. And so that's exactly where we're going to land today. We're going to talk about new relationships. And so our relationships are a good indicator of the trajectory of our lives. The people that we spend most of our time with have an incredible influence on who we become. So to become better, we may need to make better choices concerning who we spend our time with. And so today we're going to discover that the people we surround ourselves with have far-reaching effects. Sometimes it's important for us to focus on having a new or renewed relationships and surround ourselves with others who want to be made new as well. So I'm convinced that our greatest opportunity for spiritual growth doesn't happen when we're by ourselves, but when we're in relationship with one another. In Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he gives us some of the most basic and effective advice for developing meaningful relationships. He gives us five tips or points of advice that will help us win people over. He says, number one, become genuinely interested in other people. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. Number two, he says, smile. If you want to draw others to you, light up your face with a smile, right? Number three, remember names. A person's name is the sweetest and most important thing, or most important sound to that person. Number four, be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. And then number five, talk in terms of other person's interests. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Now, think to yourself, of these five relational instructions, which of them are you best at and which one maybe needs a little work? The truth is that you and I were created for relationship. We were designed to live our best lives when in the context of community. The problem is that we don't always choose the right people to surround ourselves with. Anybody ever have a friend that just got them in trouble all the time? Yeah, Austin is, I believe that. Anybody have a friend like Austin who just got them in trouble all the time? Yeah, maybe you were that friend, and that's okay. The problem is we don't always choose our friends well. The Bible gives us some practical wisdom for living in healthy community with one another, and that's where we're going to spend most of our time together today, looking at some different passages that speak directly to relationships and how they should look if we're living a life that follows Jesus. And so we're going to look at three aspects of a renewed relationship today. The first one is, renewed relationships are not left to chance. It's not happenstance, right? Renewed relationships are not left to chance. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." So, the people who live righteous lives are people who choose their friends carefully. Now, this means rather than leaving our closest relationships to chance, we make a concerted effort to surround ourselves with people who are carefully chosen. The righteous know the kind of person they want to be, and they choose to surround themselves with people who help them achieve those goals. The righteous look for people who make them better versions of themselves. The righteous seek out people who love God with their whole hearts and live it out each day. Some people don't have our best interests in mind. Some people don't live a life based upon pleasing God. The differences between positive relationships and negative ones can be compared to the difference between graffiti and an art gallery. Graffiti is haphazard and it's messy and it's unpredictable, but an art gallery is different. Graffiti is chaotic, but an art gallery is curated. It's strategic. It's thought through. The art behind building relationships can be seen in the same way. If we leave our closest connections to accidental encounters, we might find ourselves being led into places that we never wanted to go and becoming people that we never intended to be. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, we see the way to develop better relationships. Jesus certainly spent time with a lot of people. We'll call them the crowd. And he spent time there, but he didn't focus there. That wasn't his main focus. Instead, he had 12 disciples that were his main focus. And then of the 12, he had three that were Peter, James, and John, where he really invested time and energy. So Jesus didn't leave his friendships to chance. He chose them wisely. That doesn't mean he was unfriendly or unwelcoming or inhospitable. He was very hospitable and probably the most hospitable person to ever live. And then when you consider someone who doesn't own a house as the most hospitable person to ever live, that's very skillful, right? You ever think about that? Jesus was the most hospitable person to ever live and did not have a house. Huh. That's crazy. Everywhere he went, though, he was hospitable to people. But he did choose who he spent the majority of his time with very intentionally. And I think we should do the same. So, renewed relationships are not left to chance. The second one is that renewed relationships have godly attributes. The only way we can avoid relationships by chance and develop friendships by choice is by looking for characteristics in others that look like Jesus and encourage us toward him. So Paul writes this familiar passage to the early church in Corinth, and the reason he's putting this in here is to tell us what love is and the kind of things that we should surround ourselves with. So 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7 says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." We hear this scripture used a lot at weddings. Yes, at weddings. And it's used to describe the love that a husband and wife should have for each other, which is true, but that's not the intention of this passage. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, basically saying, here is what the love of God looks like, and this is how God loves you and how you should love others. And so going along with what we read in Proverbs about choosing our friends carefully, this outline serves as an outline or a description of what attributes we can look for when selecting friends or relationships. So if your relationships are exhibiting things like patience and kindness and honor and perseverance and protection and truth and hope and so on, that means that you're in the midst of a godly relationship. Paul is outlining what true relationships are built on, and they're built on the love of God. This is what they look like in our lives. So as I read through this simple yet profound characteristics, I can't help but think of myself in these kinds of relationships that I want in my life. I want relationships that are not self-seeking and they're not proud and they protect, and I want relationships that persevere. And being aware of the people that are in our sphere or are in our influence and noticing when someone demonstrates these attributes, that's Paul saying this might be the way that we can develop better relationships this year. A good friend with these characteristics makes us feel safe and loved and supported. Some of the greatest friendships I've ever had, I'm assuming you as well, are ones that fit this description. Jackie Robinson was the first black athlete to play in Major League Baseball, and he broke baseball's color barrier. He faced jeering crowds at every stadium he competed in. While playing in one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, New York, he committed an error on the field. The fans began to ridicule him, and he stood at second base, humiliated, while fans heckled him. It was at the height of the tension when he felt most alone that suddenly shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over and stood next to him. He put his arm around Jackie Robinson and faced the crowd, and the fans grew silent. Robinson later said that arm around his shoulder saved his career. Some of us this morning need to have someone like Pee Wee Reese in our life. Someone who is willing to come and stand next to us when no one else will. Someone who will face down the jeering crowd so we don't have to do it alone. Do you have someone who embodies patience and kindness and humility and love and truth and joy like it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians? And if not, maybe we begin this new year by doing everything in our power to find folks who do. That way, when life throws you difficult circumstances, like losing a job or marriage struggles or addiction or temptation, you don't have to go through it alone. If you have someone in your life like that, maybe it's time you invested in some, or if you don't, sorry, have someone in your life like that, maybe it's time you invested in some different relationships this year. So as important as it is for us to be on the lookout for godly friendships, there's also a very important aspect to these new or renewed relationships that often goes overlooked, especially in a world where nothing is my fault, right? The last one is renewed relationships require my participation. We've talked about choosing friends and what to look for in relationships, but there's a part for us to play in this whole thing as well. The truth is that in order for us to have better relationships, we must also be someone who might want to develop, who we might want to develop a relationship with, right? We want to be someone that we would want to be a friend of. We must live with self-assessment, self-awareness, and humility and be able to answer honestly if we're the kind of people that God wants us to be. So if you were to be honest, what kind of friend are you? Are you trustworthy? Are you kind? Are you forgiving? Do you have others' best interests in mind? Paul writes about this need for us to be others-focused in the book of Romans. It's on your screen, Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. It says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." Sorry, I forgot to advance you. "Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So what Paul's doing here is he's giving instruction for individuals to live in meaningful relationship with one another. Rather than just expect everyone else to cater to my needs and my desires, I need to make a conscious effort to be devoted to others in love. And this root word that Paul uses in the Greek is the word phileo. It means to love someone like a brother or sister. It's also the root word for the city of Philadelphia, which is known as, there we go, the city of brotherly love. Now, Paul's inviting us to love others as brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a deep connection that is made as part of God's family. Then when he says, we ought to honor one another above ourselves, this is the crux of the passage. Without putting other people first and honoring them by the way we treat them, there's no hope of building better relationships that are not somehow one-sided. Both sides have to drop self-interest and self-advancement, and that starts with us. So, there's a story that I found in an article back from 1993. It's a bit dated, but the advice isn't. The article is called How to Be Miserable, and it says this: think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people want to say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious. Be jealous. Be envious. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. That's 30 years ago. I lost my spot. Demand agreement with your views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favors shown them. Never forget a service you have rendered. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. How to be miserable. Or you could take the opposite route and be a person focused on others more than yourself. You could be the type of friend that you want to have. Once again, Jesus is our greatest example of building better relationships. Relationships are at the heart of God. If this weren't true, he wouldn't have spent 33 years here on earth in relationship with the likes of us. Jesus was the standard for a life of humility and service. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he demonstrated how to love others well. So in this new year, I would encourage you to make a commitment to surround yourself with people who push you towards Jesus. I would encourage you to pay close attention to the kind of attributes that your closest friends demonstrate, and pay even closer attention to your own attributes to make sure you're the kind of person who would encourage and support people who enter a relationship with you. It's always wise to take a step back this time of year and reevaluate, and perhaps renewed relationships are exactly what you need. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you for this scattered, chaotic Sunday morning service. God, we just lift up Kenny again. Be with him right now. Be with the doctors. Be with Connie as well. We thank you for this church family to surround them. We thank you for those who are skilled for helping him. And God, if anything was said through my rambling this morning that related to someone, we know it's to your credit. And we thank you for that as well. So God, as we focus on this new year that we have in front of us, we just ask that you would be involved in our relationships, that you would be the source of wisdom in which we choose friends, that you would be the source of love in which our friendships are formed, and God, that you would be our source to be selfless in all of our relationships this year. As part of a new year in you brings about new relationships that are formed in and by you. We thank you for this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worship team's going to sing a song this morning. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you, or maybe this has been an area where you've been struggling for a long time relationally, and you just want to respond, you can do that here at the altar. We just ask that you'd stand with us and sing and take these next few moments to reflect on what God's been speaking to you this morning.
To see.